Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, it's me, Diva J, here to bring you some awesome celebrity gossip. I hope that everybody is enjoying this wonderful football loving Sunday. Luckily, I have another segment that follows this, and we will be getting into that because I am very excited coming off of an awesome win. Speaking of awesome wins, congratulations goes out to our 44th president, Mr. Barack Hussein Obama, who won his second term on November 6, 2012. It was a very historical night. It was a rough night for a lot of us who were Team Obama, and congratulations goes out to him. I know that it's going to be a successful run, and we're very excited to have him as our 44th president serving his second term. So we're going to go right into gossip today, have a lot to talk about. First, we're going to get into the new album alert. It has been rumored that Miss Queen Bee, Miss Beyonce herself, is in the studio currently recording and working on her fifth studio album, which is set for release in February following her Super Bowl halftime performance. So we are very excited about her new album coming up, and we know that it's going to bring a whole lot of good dance moves and some slow grooves. So, you know, hopefully it'll be a great album, and hopefully Miss B can remain on top of the charts as she always does. So we have a new couple alert today. Mr. Eddie Murphy, who loves the ladies and does not enjoy being single, who recently broke up with former 106 and Park host Miss Roxy Diaz, was recently spotted with Australian model Paige Butcher getting coffee. And earlier this week, they were spotted at a restaurant in Beverly Hills. This model has also been linked to actor model Tyson Beckford and music mogul Russell Simmons. So she knows what to do. So congratulations goes out to her because she knows how to get them, keep them, and get a good man. Twitter beef alert. It was this week where it was rumored that Miss Tamar Braxton is pregnant. Miss Tamar Braxton got into a recent Twitter beef with blogger Sandra Rose, who said that Tamar is pregnant and that her husband, Vincent Herbert, who is also the manager of Lady Gaga as well as Mindless Behavior, has had lap band surgery and has lost a ton of weight. Once this news leaked, Miss Tamar and Tamar Fashion went off, and they had a lovely Twitter beef that lasted for about 2 hours, which ultimately ended in Tamar blocking this Miss Sandra Rose, calling her a bathroom blogger who is irrelevant and needs to mind her own business. Upon Tamar threatening to block Miss Sandra Rose, Sandra Rose said that she needs to block her because she would in turn release some information that will prove that Tamar has been cheating on her husband, Vincent Herbert. So Tamar was not happy about that, and neither was Tamar's friends, because they jumped into this beef as well. And ultimately, the beef is over. But I am really curious to know if Tamar is going forward with, you know, being pregnant. She is barren, according to her medical reports, that she is barren, and she has to undergo in vitro surgery and in order to become pregnant. So it will be really interesting to find out if she really is pregnant. But hopefully, you know, Ms. Sandra Rose, you know, she stays in her lane, because you ain't trying to get into no beef with Tamar Braxton and her other four sisters. So hopefully, you know, this doesn't end up as bad as it could have. We have a breakup alert. Justin Bieber and Selena Gomez, the teen heartthrob, have officially broken up. They broke up due to somebody being jealous and conflicting schedules. So in the report, it didn't release which of the two were jealous of the other, but apparently the person could not handle the other person's career and the groupies and, you know, the hotel rumors and all of the different shenanigans that were going on while the person was on tour, and they had decided to call it quits for now. But in the past, they have also called it quits, and they have gotten back together. So, you know, hopefully this little teen couple can get their little lives together and, you know, get back together. And if not, then hopefully they'll move on and find successful relationships with other people. Somebody got called out this week. 1990 star from the group TLC has called out Miss Nicki Minaj, stating that Nicki Minaj is not a true singer, she is not a true artist, that she has no talent, and her talent is limitless, and she should not be a judge. She is not qualified to be a judge on the hit TV show American Idol, that she would be better off being a contestant on the show versus being a judge on the show. I'm kind of controversial on this issue, because I don't think that Nicki Minaj is qualified to be a judge on American Idol. I won't say that her talent is limitless and that, well, limited, that she does not have talent. I believe that she has the talent to entertain. I do not believe that she is the best vocalist, but this is what the Idol crowd chose, and this is what it is. So hopefully she does not dig herself into a hole, and she is coming out with a brand new reality series. Hopefully, you know, this doesn't overshadow her series coming out, and this doesn't overshadow her talent as well. So hopefully, you know, this beef does not become extremely public. Hopefully, you know, Nicki Minaj doesn't try to retaliate, because this could potentially be ugly on both sides. Also, The Game, rapper The Game, is coming out with a brand new TV series with him and his wife on VH1. They are getting married, finally, after calling off their wedding and bringing the wedding back on and then calling it off again. And in recent statements, on a recent interview that he did with The Breakfast Club, he said that he votes to legalize cheating in a relationship, but for men only. He said that it is very beneficial for a woman to know if her man is cheating on her or not, or what's going on in the relationship, that, you know, he should be free to do what he wants to do, because women are going to assume anyway. I don't agree with that, but he then goes on to say that the reason that he feels like a woman should not be entitled to cheat is because a man would automatically dump her. He would call her a whore, and he would dump her, and that would be the end of the story, and they would get a divorce. But if it was a man, then a woman automatically assumes that he cheats anyway. So he feels that it should just be legalized for men only and not for women. I mean, what do you guys think about that? I mean, I think that's very hypocritical. I think that's one-sided. I think that I don't think that cheating should be legalized anywhere. I think that cheating is stupid. If you're going to cheat on somebody, you might as well just not be with them and just be with other people, have an open relationship or whatever it is that you choose to do. But, you know, if you're going to cheat, then you're wasting somebody else's time, including your own. So this is Diva's Got the J for the Day. Please stay tuned for In the Locker Room with me and Altitude.
5-4. Lynn for the win. Got it.
To the locker room with Diva J and Altitude.
Good afternoon again, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the locker room with myself and my co-host, Altitude. Altitude, are you there?
I'm here. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing excellent.
Me too. It's a good day.
It is a good day.
It's an awesome day.
It's excellent. As you know, this is the locker room. I am Altitude. That is Diva J. We bring you nothing but the latest and greatest in sports scores and news.
Amen.
In my Meek Mill voice. Speaking of news,
mm-hmm.
we're just going to get right into it.
Mm.
Number one, Alabama. The number one team in the nation for 10 straight weeks went down yesterday to Texas A&M. And freshman quarterback Johnny Manziel, also known as Johnny Football. It's the first loss, as you know, for the Alabama Crimson Tide in over a year. Last loss to LSU in the regular season last season before revenging that loss in the national title game. Holding LSU scoreless in that one, by the way. Alabama went down. What you think about that?
I think you did that on purpose.
Let's just keep it on sports. I'm just reporting what is news, and that is definitely news. It's the number one team in the nation.
I mean, that's news. You know, we went down. It's all good, though. You know, we will rise again. And, let's get to that Michigan score.
Yes, Michigan won yesterday as well in overtime, 38-31.
Congratulations.
Not sure if you were trying to be funny there, but.
I really wasn't, because I already knew that you guys won, I wasn't trying to be funny at all.
Yeah, it's cool. Michigan, as you all know, is my favorite college football team. They beat number 24 Northwestern, 38-31 yesterday in overtime. Took a last second. Went to the last second in the regulation. Michigan was able to get a field goal late, force overtime, and then ultimately win in overtime. So congratulations to the Blue. Congratulations to Michigan. No smart remarks? No? Maybe we've lost my co-host. As you know, I am still Altitude, and this is still the locker room. So we're going to move right along. Top 25 college football scores went as followed. Number 25, Toledo went down to Ball State 27-34 was the final in that one. Number 10, Florida State held off Virginia Tech 28-22. Number 24, Northwestern over Michigan. Went down to Michigan 38-31. As we just went over, number one, Alabama lost to number 15, Texas A&M, 29-24, final score. Number two, Kansas State beat TCU 23-10. Number three, Oregon over Cal, 59-17. Number four, Notre Dame kept on winning, beating Boston College this time, 21-6. Number five, Georgia over Auburn, 38-0. What's going on in Auburn? Since Cam Newton left, just doesn't seem like they have anything in Auburn. Number nine, Louisville went down to Syracuse in the Carrier Dome, 26-45. The Carrier Dome, always a tough place to play. Number eight, South Carolina beat Arkansas 38-20. Number 14, Stanford over number 11, Oregon State, 27-23. Number 12, Oklahoma over Baylor, 42-34. Number 16, Nebraska beat Penn State 32-23. Clemson over Maryland, 45-10. Number 17, Texas took care of business against Iowa State, 38-17. And number 20, Louisiana Tech down Texas State, 62-65. Diva J, you there?
I'm back. I'm not for sure what happened. It was really weird. Like a bankruptcy commercial came on, and then the phone went off. It was really weird. But I definitely have HBCU scores. You ready for them?
Let's do it.
Okay, Howard University got smashed by Georgia Southern 69-26. Norfolk State, oof, I don't know what y'all was doing. Norfolk State killed Morgan State 30-0. North Carolina A&T beat South Carolina State 17-7. NCCU lost to FAMU 22-21. Delaware State beat Hampton University 35-27. Bethune-Cookman beat Savannah State 49-7. Langston University beat Panhandle State 27-20. Stillman College beat Cordelia College 28-26. Kentucky Western got beat by Central State University 51-7. Sorry, I had to get hype on my school, y'all. Lock Haven beat Cheney University 15-7. Winston-Salem State beat Elizabeth State University 34-19. Alabama A&M beat Jackson State 35-21. Texas Southern got beat by Alcorn State 34-24. Prairie View A&M got beat by Mississippi Valley 22-20. And those are the HBCU scores for today.
Thank you very much.
My school and your school won.
Oh, yes. Congratulations go out to the Spartans, most definitely, and Central State as well. Shout out Central
State. Yeah, 51. Heck yeah.
It's a big win for them.
Let's get into some NFL scores, one in particular. I just want to, you know, I'm going to have to pat myself on the back because this score that's come, that we're about to go over is just so amazing.
It's quite amazing.
You want to do the honors or shall I?
Go ahead, please. This is,
you know, for you New York fans, I'm really not, I don't understand. You know, I'm really at a loss because I really don't understand this score. I mean, you know, y'all are a good squad, but ultimately I'm going to always go with the hometown squad, you know. So Cincinnati beat, you know, the New York Giants 31-13. Which was a really, really crazy game. Like, it was so many interceptions, so many fumbles, and I don't know, just, you know, kind of crazy. You know, similar to this Baltimore-Oakland game, I really,
similar.
I really, I don't understand. I kind of, oops, we have
just
a
just in time, looks like we have a caller. Caller, what's your name? Where you calling from?
Oh, my name is Mark Henderson, and I'm calling from Chicago, and I happen to be your cousin.
How you doing, Cousin Mark?
How you doing there, Phil?
I'm doing great.
Oh, great, great. Fantastic. I just heard a little bit of what your friend was talking about. She said she didn't understand the scores. If you look back, New York Giants have a real hard time playing in Cincinnati. They have big loss like the last four games or what have you.
Yes, in fact, New York is 0-6 all time in Cincinnati.
Yeah, that's what. Yeah, I know it's something. I know they lost.
Yeah.
So most of those things are those stats are kept for a reason. And about
right.
The Oakland Raiders, we got to fix the Raiders, man. Nothing like they used to be, and they got rid of that coach a couple of years ago, and they should have kept him, in my opinion.
Absolutely.
So what did you think about the game yesterday? Because I was really cheering against Alabama.
I thought it was a good game. You know that the quarterback, if you don't know what we're talking about, when he's talking about he was cheering Alabama, that's the college football game that took place yesterday between Texas A&M and number one at the time, Alabama. I wasn't necessarily cheering against Alabama. I really didn't care who won, to be honest. But, you know, historically that was big because that Texas A&M, of course, is playing a freshman quarterback. And he didn't look like a freshman yesterday. He really was poised, didn't make a lot of mistakes, and led his team to victory. So it was a good game.
Yeah, he held up to his name, Johnny Football, right? Is that what they call
him? Yeah, Johnny Football is what they call that kid.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Alabama still had a chance. You know, they gave themselves an opportunity and, you know, had some uncharacteristic mistakes in the red zone. But ultimately, that's what you, you know, you're number one in the country. Those are the things you're supposed to be able to convert and take care of, and they weren't able to do that yesterday.
No, that is it. It got by them yesterday. Did I want to tell you, I really enjoyed calling your show. I'm glad your uncle gave me the number so I can converse with you on sports and other things. I really enjoy it.
Yes, I'm glad you call in. Call in next week, too, man. Call in every week.
I'm calling in every week from now on as long as I'm this tall and this old. So.
You're right. And your Bears, by the way, your Bears got a big game tonight. Houston's coming to town. Should be a big one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're talking about it. Everybody's picking Houston, and that's a big mistake. Although we never play really good on TV. Probably Sunday night. But Monday we pretty good, but we never really play good when we're nationwide, you know. So, but we still got a defense, and defense in my book, cause like I said, I'm old school, wins championships.
Absolutely, absolutely. thank you, cousin Mark. We have another caller.
We have another caller.
Please continue to listen. caller, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
You know, it's Sienna. Calling from Atlanta.
Sienna.
Deanna from
Hi,
Atlanta.
DJ. Hey, y'all to do.
How you doing, Sienna?
Yeah, I'm good.
That's good. If you're, in case you were waiting on us, your Saints did what I predicted they would do and upended the previously unbeaten Atlanta Falcons 31-27 final score in that one. Atlanta, like I just said, was undefeated before today's game.
What did I tell you? What did I tell you? I told you they were going.
I'm with my co-host, Abby.
I told you they were going.
Yes. Yeah. I predicted this as well. Looking out to do, look at call it picks.
Hey, Mommy, I'm on the sports segment.
No. I told you.
Wow. Looks like caller having some issues at the house. Hello? All right. Had some technical difficulties with the caller. I guess this gives us a good opportunity, though, to run down the rest of the NFL scores. Thursday night's game took place between the Indianapolis Colts and the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Colts won that one 27-10. As previously discussed, Baltimore beat the Raiders 55-20 in a professional football game. One team allowed another team to score 55 points. Moving on. Denver beat Carolina today 36-14. Cincinnati, as previously discussed, beat the New York Giants 31-13. Tennessee over Miami 37-3. Minnesota beat Detroit 34-24. New England, with the late pick against Buffalo, held them off 37-31. New Orleans, of course, beat the previously undefeated Atlanta Falcons 31-27. And Tampa Bay over San Diego 34-24. The games taking place right now include the Jets against Seattle. Looks like Seattle has already scored in that one. That one 7-0 in favor of the Seahawks. Philadelphia and Dallas will take the field here momentarily, along with San Francisco and St. Louis. Tonight's game, if you were listening earlier, will be between the Houston Texans and the Chicago Bears, and tomorrow's Monday night game is between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Big win for you Cincinnati Bengals, for your Cincinnati Bengals, rather. That ends a four-game losing streak, and against a good team. What did you think? Did you get to watch the game today?
You trying to be funny. It's all
no.
good. It's okay, because you can do that. You can be funny.
Sports.
Which is fine. It's all good. Chuckle all you want to. But, you know, a loss
just
is a loss.
Trying to bring sports to
and clearly your team lost big
okay.
today. Let's talk about that game for a minute. Like, you know, what do you think was wrong? I mean, what do you think went wrong in this game?
What game is that we're talking about?
Your team.
The Raiders. The Raiders versus
the losers,
Baltimore
yes.
Ravens. Yes. in that one, I think it's pretty simple. Baltimore's better than we are right now. I can admit that. I'll be the first to admit that. They have a better defense, obviously, our pass defense is atrocious. Joe Flacco threw for 341 yards, 3 touchdowns today. And Carson Palmer had a decent game, 368 yards, 2 touchdowns. But, you know, at some point, special teams and defense have to come through for you, and ours clearly is not coming through for us. And it led to a 20-55 destruction. Not to mention, though, Baltimore is very good at home. I don't want to lose sight of that. They're like 15-1 in their last 16 games at home. And we are not that good on the road. We're not that good anywhere. But we're working on it.
Okay. Just want to, you know, I have to gloat for a minute because, you know, you're so quick to, you know, throw my team under the bus every week. And, you know, whew, this win today was very, was a really good win. And, you know, have to gloat because I'm be honest, I'm sitting there watching the TV. I'm just like, but see, that's what happens when you go to the jungle. For those of you who don't know, you know, in Cincinnati, we have this thing called the jungle, and the jungle is Paul Brown Stadium. And, when you come to the jungle, you know, things happen.
Yeah. It's a big metaphor for those who don't know. You know, obviously, the team moniker for Cincinnati is the Bengals, alluding to a Bengal tiger. You see the tiger stripes on the helmets and the jerseys.
Uh-huh.
Tigers live in a jungle.
All right.
Therefore, you allude
to the
Raider
jungle.
What
does a Raider live in? Which brings back the point
they're nomadic.
That I'm trying to make.
There is no one place that they live. They live wherever they lay their hat. They're like Rolling Stones. You heard the Temptations song? Raiders are Rolling Stones.
That's not what they said.
Wherever they lay their hat.
That's not what they said.
Their home.
That is not what they said at all.
And when they
play. I do want to point out the fact
get them out of here.
This is the inaugural show. You know, my questions have still yet to be answered, and you still don't want to answer my question for whatever reason it is. What is a Raider? You know, clearly we can talk about what a Bengal is. A Bengal is a tiger, okay, that can be found in India. You know, or at the Cincinnati Zoo, whichever one you want to say. You know, of course we have Bengal tigers at the Cincinnati Zoo. This is what we do. But what is a Raider?
I don't know how many times I can say what a Raider is.
Because you failed to give a working definition.
A Raider is pretty self-explanatory, actually. You listen to the word raid.
Okay, right. And when I think of raid, I think of roach spray.
That means they raid-ish. They go in, they take over.
When I think of raid, I think of roach spray. And what does roach spray do? They kill roaches.
It eliminates. You see what I'm saying? So that works, too. You can use that as well. So however you think of raid is what we are.
So you guys are repellent?
Huh?
So you guys are repellent? Because that's what it is.
No. Raid doesn't repel. It eliminates.
Right.
Elimination.
Right.
That's the word of the day, in fact. Elimination is the word of the day for the locker room. Speaking of elimination, I think the Bengals may be one or two games away from playoff elimination. You see what happens when you wake the sleepy guy? I was
and what are the Raiders? You guys don't make it to the playoffs. Is that what happens?
Hold on. Don't
you guys are automatically eliminated from the first game.
Don't
that is that what happens?
What happened is I was going to let you breathe today because I felt you taking your shots, and I still kept cool. And I said, no, this is me bringing the sports. I'm just trying to bring the facts to the fans. That's it. But you had to take it a step further. So elimination is the word of the day. Speaking of elimination, the Lakers eliminated their head coach. Mike Brown was eliminated. He was alleviated of his duties as the head coach of the Los Angeles Lakers. That's after a 1-4 start. The Lakers have been rumored to be in talks with Phil Jackson, the Zen Master. Of course, the previous coach of the Los Angeles Lakers has led the Lakers collectively to 5 NBA championships, You may know him from Chicago Bulls fame as well. He led those Michael Jordan led Chicago Bulls to 6 championships. That gives him 11 total. And I hear that he is interested in this Lakers team with Steve Nash, Kobe Bryant, Dwight Howard, and he would like a crack at it, though they are not limiting the search to Phil Jackson. They're also talking to Mike D'Antoni and Mike Dunleavy. So,
I think their start was just fine. I don't think that they needed a. I think they should have kept him.
You think a 1-4 start is fine?
I think it's awesome. Let me just
break this down for you.
Yes.
If you are the owner of a company, we don't
even have to go into that. I say it because this is what they get. Like, this whole Lakers squad, and I'm going to say this to the day I die, I don't care. This Lakers squad was put together to be, they were supposed to be annihilators. They were supposed to beat the top three. So in order for them to beat the top three, they had to get the top five, which is fine. That's understandable. However, the problem with that is when you bring all of these stars together and they don't perform, it's not necessarily the coach's fault that they're not performing. All of these players have been in the league for a while, so they should know how to, when it comes to the court, execute what they're supposed to do. That's not necessarily the coach's fault. So if Phil Jackson comes, which is all well and good, and they end up being 15-35, is that still the coach's fault? Do you still get rid of Phil Jackson? Or is it the team's fault? They should never have gotten all of these star players on one squad. That's dumb. So next year they're going after Kobe and Dwayne Wade, and everybody's just going to be a Laker, and then what? Because ultimately what's really going to happen is Dwight's going to get injured because he has been getting injured. That's going to happen. Then what are you going to do? You dished out millions and millions of dollars for this guy to come here and play and be a star center, and then he's not a star center. Steve Nash has been injured. So now what? What do you do? They're talking about trading Paul Gasol. Then what? So you're eliminating all of these things to try to make the team better, which is fine. The fact of the matter is the execution was wrong in putting the team together in the first place. Steve Nash was a good player on his own squad. Dwight Howard was a good player on his own squad. Kobe did well with the Lakers. You should have kept it that way. You do it because you want a ring. Just like the Miami Heat, they wanted a ring the first year. It didn't happen like that. It happened the following year, which was undeserving, by the way. But still, like, you don't keep the stars where they are. Have your own squad. Be your own leader. Be your own man. Take your own team to the championship. Execution's terrible.
Yeah, I agree to a certain extent. however, I think the way that the league is moving is it's moving towards these teams with, you know, three dominant players. You take a look at the last few NBA champions. You had the Boston Celtics, who obviously put together a big three. I say that with quotation marks. They brought in Kevin Garnett and Ray Allen to add to the superstar they already had in Paul Pierce at the time, and it paid dividends. They won a championship. You look at the Miami Heat, as much as you hate to admit it, LeBron James left Cleveland, went to Miami. Sure, it didn't work out in terms of them winning the championship year one. However, they got there year one. They were in the championship series the first year that they were together. The first year that they were together, they won the championship. The first year they got to the championship, the following year they won it. And obviously the Lakers are trying to compete. You look at what's happening out west. Oklahoma City had a big three before they got rid of James Harden with Russell Westbrook, Kevin Durant. They had James Harden. Now they have Kevin Martin, so I guess he's part of the big three. So I do believe that in order to win a championship in today's NBA, you have to have more than just one superstar. And the Lakers are just trying to compete with everybody else at this point. I think, obviously, I'm not a Lakers fan, but I can see what they're trying to do here. They're trying to be competitive in a league that, you know, is very top-heavy right now. You think if Kobe Bryant's Lakers minus Dwight Howard and Steve Nash got to a finals matchup with LeBron James's Heat that they would have a chance? I don't. You think that they would have a chance against OKC minus these other additions? I don't. In fact, they are having a hard time competing with the team right in town. The Clippers have a big three. Chris Paul, Blake, they have Odom, they have Chauncey Billups. So you just need more than one guy now. It's a different time in the NBA.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. That's all well and good. I'm just never a I'm not really agree with that. Because even with their big five, I still don't think they're gonna win. They're still not going to the championship.
And again, I'm not saying that they are. Let me make this statement. I don't think that the Lakers are going to go to the championship or win it. However, I do think they gave themselves a better chance of getting there. Let's say the percentage of them getting there before these moves was 3. I believe now that is at least 13, 17. So I just think they gave themselves a better chance. And I think that if you go and get Phil Jackson, that number increases. Phil Jackson is the most successful head coach in NBA history. That's not for nothing.
Yeah.
He knows what he's doing, and I do believe that firing Mike Brown was the right thing to do, considering what you did. Now, Mike Brown obviously didn't have a decision or didn't have any say-so in who you brought to the team, but ultimately it's his job as the head coach to make these egos and personalities mesh. That's what you pay a head coach for. If it wasn't his job to do that and he shouldn't take any responsibility, then you don't need a head coach. What you do is just go buy players up and have them police and coach themselves. And, you know, that isn't a successful way in trying to win a championship ultimately at the end of the year. So shout out to Mike Brown, though. I think he took, you know, some unnecessary or unwarranted flack for some of the things that were going on in L.A. as well as in Cleveland. Ultimately, Cleveland fired Mike Brown, thinking that that would give them a better chance of keeping LeBron James, and we saw what happened there. They fired Mike Brown after he led Cleveland to the best record in the league and lost LeBron James anyway. So I'm sure Mike will find another job.
I'm sure that he will. I just think that it's going to be a bruise to his talent.
Yeah.
It's gonna, definitely going to be a bruise because, like, you couldn't coach the head, you couldn't coach what is considered to be the elite team of the NBA. So I think ultimately that's going to be a bad look for him.
Right, I agree. It never looks good when you know you have an all-star team in essence put together and you can't lead them to the promised land. But you know who can? Phil Jackson. He's proven that time and time again. And I happen to like Phil, despite my disdain for the Lakers.
I bet.
Not just because he's my namesake, but he's actually a pretty decent coach. Quick update. The New York Jets have tied the game with the Seattle Seahawks. That game is now 7-7. Philadelphia has a 7-0 lead over the Dallas Cowboys. And the St. Louis Rams have a 7-0 lead over the San Francisco 49ers. We have some more sports news for you guys, by the way. In tennis action, the year-end championships are being held in London in the O2 Arena. That's where the top 8 tennis players from the year get together, have a little round robin, and then semifinals leading to a finals. Novak Djokovic, number one player in the world, beat Juan Martín Del Potro today to move into that final. He will play either Roger Federer or Andy Murray. I believe they are playing right now, so the winner of that will face Novak Djokovic.
Let's get into some NBA scores.
Sure, that's a good idea. Look at you coming up with all the bright ideas today.
You know what? I have something to say, but you know what? I can't say it over the airwaves. Indiana beat Washington 89-85. Philadelphia 76ers beat the Toronto Raptors 93-83. Charlotte Bobcats beat the Mavericks 101-97. Houston beat Detroit 96-82. Chicago Bulls beat Minnesota 87-80. Here's no surprise. The Boston Celtics beat the Milwaukee Bucks 96-92. Utah beat Phoenix 94-81. San Antonio beat Portland Trail Blazers 112-109. And the Denver Nuggets beat Golden State Warriors 107-101. And these are scores that came from November 9th, yesterday.
That was November 10th.
You know what?
I'm just trying to help you. That, you were right the first time.
Friday night scores. Milwaukee beat Washington 101-91. Brooklyn Nets beat Orlando Magic 107-68. Philadelphia beat Boston 106-100. New York Knicks beat Dallas 104-94. Miami beat Atlanta 95-89. New Orleans beat Charlotte 107-99. The Memphis Grizzlies beat Houston 93-87. Minnesota beat Indiana 96-94. OKC beat Detroit 105-94. The Phoenix Suns beat the Cavaliers 107-105. San Antonio beat Sacramento Kings 97-86. Denver Nuggets beat Utah 104-84. And the LA Lakers beat Golden State Warriors 101-77. So, you know, with scores like that, hopefully they're going to get back on track. Even though I really don't care because I want them to burn. But that's just me. I don't like the Lakers.
Here we go. Here we go with the burning.
There's nothing wrong with dropping into like a fire.
Right. Absolutely. There were five NBA games that are scheduled to take place today. Two of them are underway as we speak. The Brooklyn Nets. That is, I got to get used to that. What about you? You got to get used to saying Brooklyn Nets, right?
It just sounds wrong.
It sounds better than New Jersey. I got to be honest. The New Jersey Nets just doesn't sound right, and maybe it's because of all the losing they were doing in New Jersey. But I'm a fan of the Brooklyn Nets. I think that's a better look for them. And clearly it's a better look for them on the scoreboard as they lead the Orlando Magic 63-51. The Los Angeles Clippers lead the Atlanta Hawks 39-37. The Miami Heat and the Memphis Grizzlies are scheduled to take the court at 6 o'clock today. The Thunder and the Cavs at 7 o'clock. Look out for that one. And the night game is between the Los Angeles Lakers and the Sacramento Kings. So, pretty decent schedule of NBA basketball games on tonight.
I'm ready for some hockey to come back. I want them to get off a strike.
Yeah, that would be a good look, man. As if you didn't know, hockey is still on strike, by the way. They are in a lockout. Trying to finalize a collective bargaining agreement. So hopefully they get that done. Those guys need to get back to work. I say this every week, but, you know, that's their livelihood. It's what they do professionally, and, you know, I would like to see them back on the ice.
I'm going to run down some college NCAA basketball scores. How do you feel about the NCAA basketball being back in effect?
I'm loving it, man. I think college sports is super exciting. You know, I enjoy my professional sports But just from, like, a competitive standpoint, I think colleges, you know, they play a little better just because they're not getting paid. They're not worried about injuries and things like that. It's just clean, fundamental football or basketball or baseball, whatever you're into in the college field.
They're hungry, so they play more. They play better.
Right, right.
Because
yeah.
they're trying to make their way to the NBA, NFL, NBA, whatever team, MLB. You know, they're trying
yeah.
to make their way to, you know, those squads. So ultimately they play a little bit better because they want to be seen.
Absolutely.
So I'm going to go ahead and get into these NCAA basketball scores. I'm going to start off with my wonderful Buckeyes. I am a Buckeye fan from football, basketball. Whatever they play, I'm a fan of. And I'll start off with this score. Ohio State beat Albany 82-60. North Carolina Wilmington beat North Carolina Asheville 67-59. Willanova beat Marshall 80-68. Ball State beat Grambling State 78-51. Brown College beat Ben Hamilton 58-49. Wisconsin beat Southeast Louisiana 87-47. That's ugly. That is so ugly. That's very, very ugly.
Very.
I'm also a Bearcats fan because I'm from Cincinnati. So the Bearcats beat Tennessee Martin 80-57. That's also very, 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 very ugly. And we have some games that are currently in progress right now that are going on, and hopefully I'll be able to update you guys with the scores pretty soon because we have a couple that are in progress.
Yes, including number 2, Louisville. They lost the national championship a year ago, of course, to the Kentucky Wildcats, but they're in action today against Manhattan. They lead that one 22-12 in the first half there. Number 11, North Carolina, just beat Florida Atlantic 80-56. Number 9, Syracuse, leads number 20, San Diego State, 25-14. Number 10, Florida over Alabama State, 60-14. Goodness gracious. They only got 14 points? 61-14 now. Somebody just hit a free throw. Baylor, the number 19 team in the country, is set to take the floor against Jackson State at 5 o'clock. Number 12, Arizona, against CSU at 6 o'clock tonight. Number 4, Ohio State, beat Albany 82-60. And number 23, Wisconsin, over Southeastern Louisiana 87-47. Those Bearcats, by the way, are number 24 in the country, and they beat Tennessee Martin 80-57. That's embarrassing.
You know what? That's what we do in Ohio. We annihilate, you know.
Annihilate. That's what they do.
Yeah, we annihilate. We tear people down. That's what happens. I mean, I can't speak for Cleveland teams, though. We're going to ex-Cleveland team about that whole annihilation thing because the Indians and the Cavaliers and whatever, the Browns, I'm going to leave that out of there because that could potentially be ugly. But Cincinnati, we definitely annihilate. And then the Columbus College team, they definitely annihilate. Like the Ohio State team, we definitely annihilate everybody who comes through. So, you know.
Right.
We have
right.
haters like you, you know.
Right.
I can't wait for us to play you guys, though. I can't wait for us to play the Raiders. Like, so when we win, you know, I have a big old fat ready for you.
Nice. Real quick, I wanna educate the people on what I'm doing in the fantasy football world.
Okay.
If you didn't know, every year, I am the commissioner of a fantasy football league. The name of the league happens to be this year, I Will Not Lose. My team, hold on, don't disrespect, I Will Not Lose. My team, the VA Raider Recon, is currently 6-3. We're on a 2-game winning streak, and I'm leading my good friend Justin, NYC Recon 85 NYG 102 to 83 currently. My high point man is Matt Ryan. He had 37 points for me today. His high point man is Adrian Peterson, who had 32 points for him. So shout out to Justin. Nice try, but it looks like you're going to go down as everybody else does in the league. You know, it's only fitting that it being my league that I be the one to win it.
So
next year, Diva J, you should join the league, and you can take part in losing every week as well.
You know what? Let me educate the audience today. My teammate, my co-host, he's just so disrespectful to me this whole week, and even when I try to be nice, he's disrespectful. But when it comes to that Ohio State and Michigan game, all of this comments will be silent because we're gonna kill them, and then Ohio State is gonna do what they do best. After we win the game, they're gonna go run and jump in the lake.
Right. That sounds very fun. That sounds very entertaining, and I'm sure the people in Ohio. That is entertainment at its finest. However, November 24th is the date, people. Mark it down. The greatest rivalry in college sports takes place. The Michigan Wolverines visit Columbus, Ohio, and the Horseshoe to do battle with the Ohio State Buccaneers. I mean, I said Buccaneers. Ohio State Buckeyes.
Don't be disrespectful.
Listen, I cleared it up. What's going to happen is Denard Robinson and company is going to go down there, beat the brakes off Ohio State. All right? Then what's going to happen is the Ohio State fans are going to cry like they do every time they lose. They're going to put their faces in their hands. They're going to weep. Before the game, let me tell you what's going to take place before the game and what these Ohio State fans love. Ohio State and their marching band is going to walk out there with their shiny trumpets and trombones and all those other brass instruments. They're going to walk out there playing that song that Ohio State plays, whatever that is. They're gonna spell Ohio in cursive, right? And then their drum major is going to go out there. He's going to dot the I, as they call it. And then they're going to lose. You see what I'm saying? They're going to put on a great display.
Why are you still so much hate? Like, why are you still with so much hate in your life? Like, you need some love in your life. I want you to get some. Get some love in your life. Because you really hate
it
right
now. I have love
in
my life. I love Michigan. They're gonna do exactly what I just explained. It's going to happen just like that, by the way. Ohio State and their shiny instruments, and their freshly pressed uniforms.
Are you mad because their instruments are extra polished? You have to be extra polished for a game.
Oh, absolutely not. I think the presentation is very important, and they put on a very good show, if that's the sort of thing you're into. And just by the way, I take the Norfolk State band over the Ohio State band any day of the week, but that's another story. They're going to march out there with their freshly pressed uniforms, their freshly polished instruments, and they're going to look good. It's going to look very nice, especially on TV. If you're watching this on TV, it's going to look the closest thing to immaculate that you have ever seen. That guy's going to walk out there. He's going to do his little trumpet dance. He's going to dot the I's. They're going to leave the field, and that's where all the ugliness is going to take place.
Somebody
because
should
dot your in eye. Between those hashes, the Michigan Wolverines, go blue, are going to dominate the Ohio State Buckeyes. Write it down. I said it. You heard it here first. Out to do in the locker room, only on the Intune show. Said it.
Ladies and gentlemen, please do not pay this guy any attention. Every word that's coming out of his mouth don't pay him any attention. Everything that he says is a complete foolish lie. He is upset because Ohio State is going to dominate and win the game. That's just how it is. But that's what happens. I mean, I don't know what else to say. I mean, that's exactly what happens every year. You're upset, and it's okay because you can be a little bitter. That's all right. However, when they step foot into the horseshoe, please understand, trust, and believe that my team will go to work on them. And the jump major can go to work on them, too. He can dot everyone in the Michigan eyes for them, sir. He can also dot your eyes, too, sir. So I want you to understand that it's a big boys game. This is not your
territory.
Oh,
definitely that.
It's a big boys game. This is better than the NFL. So you don't want to go there. That's not what you
right.
want to do.
Right. Real quick, we got another update. The St. Louis Rams have scored yet another touchdown on the San Francisco 49ers, and in surprising fashion, they lead that one 14-0 in San Francisco. Dallas and Philadelphia are still tied at 7. New York and Seattle remain tied at 7, though New York is in the Seattle red zone threatening to score. If you didn't hear the scores from earlier, Baltimore dominated the Raiders 55-20. Denver over Carolina 36-14.
I just want to go back. I want to go back to you for one second. Just want to talk about that game for one second. Now, clearly, when you gave the definition earlier of the Oakland Raiders, you said that they're some dominators. You said that several times before. And now you just said that Baltimore just dominated the game. So.
You know what? I also said that that a Bengal is a tiger, and we all know that the people wearing those uniforms aren't real tigers, okay? I'm just saying. I also explained to you early on in the show that Baltimore is just flat out better than my Oakland Raiders right now. That's just the fact. It's a fact. If you look up and down the roster, they're better than we are. However, every dog has his day, and one day soon the Raiders will be back to dominating the NFL as they are used to. Right now, though, it's sort of in a rebuilding state. We didn't have our best player on the field today. Shout out to Darren McFadden. But we will be back, trust me. Now, if I can continue on with these scores, is that okay?
Go right there, sir.
Okay. The Bengals of Cincinnati beat the New York Giants 31-13. That makes the Giants 0-6 all time in the city of Cincinnati when playing the Bengals. Tennessee over the Miami Dolphins 37-3. Minnesota beat Detroit 34-24. New England held off Buffalo 37-31. New Orleans over the previously undefeated Atlanta Falcons, 31-27, and Tampa Bay over San Diego, 34-24.
Now, how are you feeling about Michael Vick?
Oh, the Bengals.
How are you feeling about Michael Vick?
Oh, about Michael Vick.
Do you feel like his job is on the line?
Absolutely, and I feel like it should be on the line. Would you like me to elaborate?
Yes, I do. I would.
Okay. I think that Michael Vick, over the course of his entire career, has been an overrated quarterback in this league. He's a very good improviser. He's probably the best this league has ever seen at the quarterback position at running with the football. That includes the likes of Robert Griffin III, Randall Cunningham, Donovan McNabb, those people. I think he's the best runner with the football from the quarterback position that the league has ever seen. However, he's a very average, if not below average, passer of the football, and even worse, decision maker. I don't think he reads defense as well. What he does is buys time with his feet until someone's open, and then he throws it to him. You know, it's just that simple. I just don't think he's that great. I mean, he is an African-American quarterback, which is a great thing in this NFL, who, you know, for a long time didn't have African-American quarterbacks, or at least didn't accept them. I think that's great, and I want to see him succeed. However, it is my duty as an analyst of sports now on this radio show to give people what I perceive to be the breakdown on Michael Vick, and that's what I think it is. I think that if you stop Michael Vick from making plays with his feet, that your chances of beating whatever team he's quarterbacking for increase exponentially. Bottom line.
Okay, good analysis. I'm just wondering how things are going to turn out with him.
They win, it buys him at least one more week, right?
I mean, with good grief, I mean, it's like every week your job is at. Every week, you know, am I going to win? Am I going to lose? Am I going to throw
I think that's the life of a quarterback in Philadelphia, to be honest. They had, in my opinion, again, in my estimation, one of the best quarterbacks in the last 10, 15 years. Donovan McNabb was the quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles for a very long time, led them to 5 NFC championship games, 1 Super Bowl, and it was never good enough. So Michael Vick now knows what it's like to be the quarterback of the Philadelphia Eagles.
And what do you think about Cameron Newton?
Cam Newton, I think, is getting a raw deal. If you break down Cam Newton from high school now to the pros, in high school the guy won at the highest level. He's not used to losing. He won state championships. You move on to college. Even in junior college, he won the junior college, their version of the national championship. Then he moves on to Auburn, wins the national championship. Goes to the NFL, he's on a terrible team, and they're losing. He's having a hard time dealing with it. That being said, he's a grown man, and that you have to rein in or corral your emotions. And also, you're a grown man playing a professional sport, which means that people are going to interview you. You're the quarterback of a football team in a professional sport. That means cameras and microphones are going to be in your face. You have to, I repeat, have to watch what you say, and when you say it, how you say it. It's just that simple. There are no excuses. As far as talent, though, I think he's extremely talented.
I just think that he went to a terrible team.
Yeah.
And much like a star rookie when you are a number one draft pick, I believe that they expect you to automatically turn whatever is going on with their team around the first year. And
yeah.
when it doesn't happen, automatically you're blamed for the mishaps and the misfortunes of your season. And
right.
I think that, you know, in turn, in a sense, makes them look very bad. But I do think that he is definitely a star quarterback to look out for. I think that he's going to have an amazing career. I just think that he needs to put his big boy drawers on. Get out of the tidy whitey and put some big boy drawers on.
Yeah.
You know, much like Mike Vick. Mike Vick really needs to take them off and put the big boy panties on.
Put the big boy panties on?
He would go ahead and lace them up and put them on and get out of the tight whitey. Like, you know, really get out there, plant your feet, really get out there and make some passes, you know, stop playing like you're scared. I mean, because ultimately, right now, he's playing like his job is on the line. He's not, which is really making him look bad. He's not playing as if, you know, he's out there to really play and win. He's playing as if, oh, my God, okay, if I don't do this, I'm going to lose my job. Oh, my God, okay, if I make this pass and I miss this pass, you know, I'm going to lose my job. So
right.
it definitely affects the way that he performs on the field. And, you know, for Cam Newton, who is accustomed to, like you said, when you're accustomed to winning, you have this air about you. When you lose, it's like, it's not my fault.
Right.
And, you know, when he gets blamed for things that clearly are his fault and that he plays a role in, you know, he has to learn how to take, you know, clear responsibility for that. But what I do respect about him is that he's not yet Hollywood. I have ill feelings against stars who get Hollywood. It irritates me.
Agree.
So you have any more live updates for us for it?
Yes, sure. Everything has pretty much stayed the same. New York 7-7 in a 7-7 tie with the Seattle Seahawks. Dallas remains tied with the Philadelphia Eagles. 7-7 is the score in that one. San Francisco trails the St. Louis Rams by 14. The score in that one is 14-0. That Dallas and Philadelphia game is a big game, and not necessarily for reasons of standings for either team. It's more so for job security. You know what I mean? Both teams are underachieving. There has been talk about Andy Reid and his job security, as well as starting quarterback Michael Vick on the Philadelphia side, and the same on the Dallas side for head coach Jason Garrett and starting quarterback Tony Romo. Both teams have gotten off to a shaky start, to say the least, and both teams desperately need a win. I think if you're in Dallas, they paid so much money to have that freaking mammoth of a stadium built, and the team hasn't brought a playoff to that city since, I guess, a few years ago they beat the Eagles in the wild card round. So both teams desperately need a win.
They do. I didn't agree with the stadium being built. I just don't. I mean, it's kind of like a reward for failure. Like, it's no offense to Dallas, but Dallas has not been good since, like, Emmitt Smith. I mean, like, keep it 100. Like, Dallas has been, you know, pretty much a sorry team for a while. And to go and build a massive stadium that costs millions of dollars, you're rewarding a team for failure. And that's not necessarily a good look, because what happened was, You built this massive stadium, and then you put the team to work, and then they don't even go to work for the stadium. So, like, even if you could have just made the stadium look good and had a winning season, had a good season. And, you know, living here in D.C., you know, it's a heavy rivalry here in the DMV area. There are a lot of split fans here. There are a lot of fans who are Dallas fans, and there are a lot of fans here who are Redskins fans.
Right.
And I actually think the rivalry is absolutely hilarious. I think it's funny to see Dallas fans here. A lot of people say Dallas Cowboys stands for D.C. So, you know, it's really interesting to see the sports rivalry that is here. And because this game that they're playing right now is a division game, because Dallas, the Eagles are in the same division. It's really interesting.
Right.
It's very interesting. I feel very bad for Mike Vick, actually, just because he's been through a lot of controversy in the past couple of years, and it just doesn't seem to always be smooth sailing for him. It seems to be like a very bumpy ride. So, you know, hopefully he can really get his game together, really show that he can be a star quarterback, really show that he can be a winner for the team, and he can keep his job, maintain his job security. It's not good to be in limbo.
Definitely not good to have your job security in question. Speaking of job security, I have a resident Dallas Cowboys fan live in the studio with me today, and he wants to let the world know that Jason Garrett should be fired. despite the 7-7 tie they're in right now with the Philadelphia Eagles, it's unimportant, he says, and Jason Garrett should have been fired with Wade Phillips last year, is the word. Years ago, not just last year, 2 years ago. Yeah.
You can't win championships when your tight end is your number one offensive.
This is a direct quote. Can't win championships when your tight end is your number one offensive weapon. Speaking of that, Diva J, we had, you know, the conversation last week when a caller called in and spoke about running the football. And what do you think about running the football in today's NFL?
They don't. in particular, in watching the game today, the Cincinnati game today, it was amazing how many fumbles, how many interceptions it was, how many times. I mean, it was just crazy. It's like people are not running the ball. Clearly, you're not running. I mean, like, there would be a fumble on the New York 10-yard line, which gives the Bengals easy access to just go, boom, touchdown. How do you do that? What are you doing? Like, why are you not running? And even when you run, like, some people, I mean, some tacklers have no heart. I think it's hilarious.
Absolutely.
When people like sack and tackle and brought back, oh, my God, brought back 10 yards. They don't run the ball. They are too busy, you know, trying to be cute. They're too busy, you know, standing there, getting off sides. It's not enough running the ball, period.
Right. I agree 100% with everything you just said. I think it's a good time, though, to let the people know. In fact, I want to continue this. Maybe not next week, because next week we have a big show lined up already. But the following week, we will talk about the lack of the running game in today's NFL and what a team that was actually able to run the ball, what kind of success they would have in today's NFL with, you know, defenses gearing more towards stopping the pass. Next week, though, myself, Diva J, and the boss lady at the Intune show, Miss P, will be interviewing former NFL fullback, former University of Tennessee fullback, Philip Crosby. So be sure you are tuned in next week at 4 o'clock in the locker room for that one. It's going to be great.
DBJ? We will be interviewing Mr. Philip Crosby, and, you know, we want you guys to call in, check it out. If you have any questions that you would like for us to ask, you can definitely hit us up in our email or via Twitter. Can you give them, like, email address, Mr. Altadine?
Yes. The email is TNS. That stands for the Intune Show. TNS Locker Room. Just how it's spelled, tnslockerroom@gmail.com. Email all your questions, concerns, topics, things that you want to be discussed on the show directly to us. We check the email directly. It comes, it's updated all the time. You can also follow us on Twitter at @altidude, @altidude. Follow Diva J at @divah_J. Be sure to follow the Intune Show. That's at the letter NTUNEDSHOW for all the latest updates on not only the locker room, but all the segments on Intune Radio or the Intune Show. So make sure you do that. Ms. Diva J, what?
Mm-hmm.
You got anything else for the people?
I don't. Ms. P, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, babies. I'm here. So that was a great show, as usual. I enjoyed myself. And I just want to congratulate, you know, Diva J and Altitude for a great job. You know, it's really, really amazing how many people just gravitate to you guys as a team, as a family, and the numbers for the locker room is crazy. Just letting you guys know, it's ridiculous. Yeah, thank you, guys. So I look forward to next week when, you know, Philip Crosby is on good times, and I'm just constantly working on, you know, other people that we can get in tuned on the locker room. So you guys stay tuned because it's only getting better from here.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, guys. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Altitude.
No, I'm sorry. I just wanted to let the people know that the question of the week will be brought back. We will have the question of the week on Twitter throughout the week this week. And be sure to tune in next week. It's a big show. Philip Crosby. It doesn't get no better than that.
I know, that's right. So you guys have a good day, and I'll see you guys next week.
All right. All right. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Take it to the moon.